Welcome back to another episode of The Way Podcast. My name is Jessica. I'm your host, and I will be taking you on another magical ride through the world of journeying and healing. So come journey with me.
Greetings, girl, and welcome to my world of phrasing right back to back.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode. Today's going to be a instruction manual type of episode when it comes to the spirits and releasing them from our homes, which is going to be very helpful for so many of you. And before we get into it, make sure that you head over to my website. The link is in the description underneath this episode. Scroll all the way to the bottom of my homepage and sign up to my newsletter, because I share so many gems with you all throughout the week. Content that I don't share anywhere else. We go really deep, and you get a 45-minute free masterclass from me, as well as a very powerful healing bone marrow breathing meditation. And when it comes to my spaces, Source Alchemy, Thrive, The Way Circle, my mentorship, these are only open in certain moments, times of the year. When they are not open, make sure that you are on the wait list so that you get notified when I do plan on opening these spaces again for more students, and you can receive early bird access pricing if I offer any, and stay in the loop about what is happening in those spaces because they are not open year-round. Now, let's get into the episode. So, ghosts, what are they? Lately, I have been getting more and more friends who have reached out with ghosts in their home, panicking, what do I do? And I've had many, many clients throughout the years reach out to get help from me with releasing ghosts from their home. Now, I work remotely. I'm not coming to anyone's home releasing ghosts, and not just because I work remotely, but because there's a matter of territory and authority that needs to be exercised. So I strongly believe that it always needs to be the person who owns the property or rents it, occupies it, inhabits it, who establishes the authority and consecrates the space and releases the spirits that they don't want in that space. And today I'm going to share a very effective ghost busting approach for you all to help release any unwanted house guests that you may have. So what are they? Well, there are many different versions of spirits, right? And apparitions. Almost too many to list here, because the spiritual realm is really infinitely populated with many different forms of consciousness, and they are in varying stages of a corporeal, physical, bodily form, whatever it is that we see when we see a ghost, what we feel when we feel their presence. Mostly it'll just be a lingering presence. Or maybe in the past you felt like you were being watched or your stuff was being moved around in your home. Now, a typical ghost is one of these lingering spirits, and its presence is overlapping with ours. So there is an opening between the physical and the spiritual that is created. Often it's inherent to ley lines in the earth or openings that have been created in the past through occult rituals or even witchcraft or lots of death. This is why lots of ghosts are seen on sites like graveyards or... And I'm sure that most of you will have felt at some point in the past that maybe you were being watched. You just felt a presence in the room. You felt the typical hairs on the back of your neck stand up. You felt a cold wind or you got goosebumps. You feel a specific effect of a spirit entering or occupying the space. This is often the case when we enter like Masonic lodges or places that used to be used for those purposes. You enter and you can just feel the dense, dense energy that's really pressing. Many people will faint in those spaces. Now, these are the more extreme examples of places where rituals have opened those doorways into the spiritual on purpose, because the physical and the spiritual realm are integrated. They are like superimposed on each other. Everything that we experience in the physical is an effect of what's created in the spiritual realm. And there can be openings, like doorways that are created in between the two on purpose. And occult rituals, especially sacrifices, do that. Also places that have a lot of death that occurred there or linked to that place, like a burial site or a slaughterhouse, the typical spooky sites. Openings are created into the spiritual. Spirits get lost in that in-between space. They linger, and they are very attached sometimes to physical places. So when people have a certain, literally like a ritual, not a ritual necessarily a cult on purpose, but we all have rituals in our lives, the things that we like to do, certain movements and actions, or those that are linked to jobs that we love or passions that we have, or certain objects that we're really attached to, they become an egregore. They become this energetic entity where our spirit is infused into it, and it will linger when our physical body passes. And sometimes the activity is even embedded in a place. So this is what occultists try very hard, meticulously, to establish on purpose with all of these very precise and extreme rituals. But they happen all the time, those imprints, just by virtue of us living in the world. We leave our imprints everywhere, and especially in the places where we are most emotionally attached. And the attachment can also be to the other people that we lived with in a certain space. So this will be the typical ghost in your home kind of energy. It's a being that's attached in some way that got stuck. And we here feel the effects of that stuckness, and sometimes they need help. Although I always advise to refrain from trying to quote unquote help spirits, because the most high, I always say this, the most high angelic ascended beings, they don't linger. They don't really, like sometimes deceased family members or guides will kind of play around with our electricity. Like I have guides who will sometimes turn on the light on my nightstand, which is like a super sweet little thing. Or I've had family members playing around with electricity, spelling their names on the radio, playing certain songs. I remember the first ghost that I saw, which was a man with a top hat. And it did freak me out a little bit because he was so, it was really funny. He was like the most elegant ghost ever. But he was in a physical form walking by. But where I lived in the Netherlands, the houses are so old. Our house was from 1904. And many houses are like from the 1700s, 1800s. They have so much energy imprinted into them that it's quite common to see ghosts and have them. And in the vast majority of cases, it is nothing to worry about. If you have a nefarious ghost, you will know. It will attack you. I've had clients who experience astral rape, astral attacks. All of this is possible, but it is very unlikely, because in order for that kind of attachment to happen, it will very often be a multi-generational familiar demonic spirit, and that only happens in very specific bloodlines who have been involved with that for a very long time, or a certain type of targeting for a very specific reason. If that's not happening, if it does, of course reach out to me and I'll help you as best as I can. But if this is not the case, you have nothing to worry about at all. And the typical ghost will kind of play around with electricity, with books, mirrors, and that's how they often come in as well. But their presence can really cause nightmares, especially among children, because around our sleep, the veil to the spiritual realm becomes a lot thinner. We have our guard down. We're in our subconscious already. So just by virtue of us being in that theta state, we become a lot more open to the spiritual realm and what is happening. So why do these spirits linger in the first place? Well, First, when humans have very strong attachments to objects through almost ritual-like behavior, strong emotional attachments, a part of them is going to merge with that thing or place and will attach to a place or object through repetitive acts. So just like is purposely done in rituals, here through an intention, a spiritual connection is enforced here on the 3D earth plane and it stays. And second, when a place is connected to an unusual amount of death, like an old prison site or a burial ground, ritual ground, a portal opens that will attract spirits. So this is where we get the typical haunted, spooky types of locations. And again, usually ghosts are really nothing to worry about unless you are really getting attacked. So removing a ghost is really a matter of you establishing your authority and territory over your environment, because when we do, spirits are not allowed to attach and they know it, because natural law is that we humans are the guardians of the land, and natural law is exercised when we establish our authority in alignment with the highest good. And it doesn't take a fight. It doesn't take a battle. Unless a portal is being actively maintained through maybe occult activity in your area, they will leave and they will stay gone. So a great way to mark your territory and set it apart for source and the highest good is obviously anointing. Anointing is one of my most favorite practices. I do it daily. So go back to my podcast episode about anointing where I explain exactly how to do it. And I explain this in depth in episode 74. So really important to go back to that episode and go through the process while I talk you through it. It's free. It's very, very easy. And put the anointing oil on all the doors, all the windows, and especially the mirrors and the technology, because spirits travel through technology most of the time, and especially mirrored screens. And guess what? All of the tech that we use, our phone, our laptop, our TVs, they're all black mirrors. And in the spirit realm, those are doorways. And when you anoint them, pray actively to close doorways and speak out loud, decide what you allow in your home and what you don't. And I have many clients who get their kids to make anointing oil and anoint everything as well and call it happy oil. And when they do this before they sleep, their nightmares will typically go away pretty much immediately. Now, I will often be called to anoint specific sites. So I'll be driving around with my husband and I'll just see this random building and I'll just feel this needs to be anointed. Stop, pull over, I'll get out, I'll anoint everything. And then I'll often just Google the address and see if I can find anything specific, or I'll just kind of take a look carefully around the premises, see if I recognize any indicators of open doorways. And 9 times out of 10, there is a very clear reason why I felt called to anoint it. Like recently this happened. And what was also really strange is the moment that I started to walk near the property, the police came. Like 6 of them. And I just asked them, like, what kind of building is this? It's peculiar. I just said, like, I studied architecture. I'm interested in this kind of stuff. They were really interested in why I was interested in the place. I had already anointed it by then. But it only took a very quick Google search to find out that this site was actually a horrific crime scene. I don't want to give you PTSD just by repeating some of the news headlines that I read, but just think of Kill Bill if you have seen that movie. So when we anoint these places, we consecrate the place, and the spirits, they can smell the oil. They know that authority is being exercised in accordance with natural law, with source, with God, creator. And they have to move. They have to go. They will go looking for the next site to attach to, but they will have to leave that place. And they know that they're not allowed to attach there. Although what may happen is that spirits will come back a few times to see if they can pull something, if they have access still, realize that they don't, and they will move on because there's nothing to get for them. I also had an apprentice in the past, Andrea. I have a podcast episode with her, actually. And she also told me she used to work at a ghost tour kind of place, and she anointed the entire site right before she left, and also naturally became called to anoint places around certain family members who were experiencing attacks and weird things. And what's so beautiful about anointing is that when we anoint the space, we are really acting as active guardians and good stewards of the land, because the land really reflects our spiritual state. And in turn, when we enter more into service and we become good stewards and we start to exercise that anointing on the land, it really rewards us as well in the most beautiful way. And things just start to thrive in those areas. And then you get called more organically to anoint certain places. That's why you should make sure that you always have anointing oil on you. What I do is I will have a little spray bottle so that I don't have to get everything dirty all the time, or a little dropper, or a little tiny perfume sample bottle that's usually really useless, but just put anointing oil in it, put it in your wallet, just so that you have it, because the best anointing moments are always the ones that are spontaneous and that you don't expect. So I recommend doing anointing in general, but especially if you're experiencing activity in your home that you don't like. Now, another thing that you can do to cleanse a home, which I would do just once before moving in, and in the Way Circle, I always support students with these kinds of things, whatever they are dealing with, because usually when people grow in their spiritual abilities, these things come on your path for a reason. So if you're dealing with a ghost or something that you feel like, I don't know what to do, why is this happening to me, like my friends recently, this is an anointing happening in your life. Like, source is calling you to help out and get into action and start to remember the ways in which we are supposed to spread the light on earth and bring healing to the collective. So it's actually a really beautiful opportunity. So one thing that you can do is put salt in all of the doorways and windows just for a few days, and also sprinkle some anointing oil on it. But all of these practices are intent based. So don't just throw some salt around and expect a quick fix. You have to pray over it. You have to set your intention from the heart, go into prayer and establish your authority. Set apart the entire space for source, for angels to be protected, to be a place of love and a really high frequency. And just that alone is going to shift the frequency of your space to a point where nefarious beings are going to be like, no thanks, I don't like this at all. Because high frequency energy, it literally makes them sick and they will go away. They cannot coexist with really high, beautiful energy. So if you get attacked, always really start to send out and cover yourself in rainbows, kittens, puppies, unicorns, whatever makes you happy. Think of your loved ones. Say the name of Yeshua, of Jesus Christ, and the energy will shift so quickly that that is your protection in itself. Now, when this starts to happen, like with a friend of mine recently, it often happens to my friends. They become more open. They start to see things more. Now, either these things were already going on, you are just becoming more sensitive and more receptive. But very often, if it's a negative experience, like with my two friends recently, something shifted. So one of them moved into a new home, and this home seems to be in a portal because their neighbors are experiencing weird things. They are seeing things that are not in the physical, that no one else can see. There is a spot just a few meters over this beautiful cliff, but unfortunately, there are 3 to 4 suicides a week, apparently, which is huge, especially given the number of people that live in Australia in the first place. And when you buy a home in a space like this, it will be affected and you will start to notice the effects of the high spiritual, the high strange activity in that space. But it also means that you were put there for a reason, to start to anoint it and make it a beautiful place. Because when there is an opening into the spirit realm because of a ley line, so lots of energy coming from the earth is like a vector. It's constant energy moving through the earth, and it's very heightened in certain spaces, especially where we have all the sacred sites like the pyramids and Stonehenge and Sedona. So it attracts all kinds of people who are either very high energy and attracted to those places, like Uluru, for example. But it also attracts the people who want to use that energy for power, and they want to harness it. They don't want to use it for weird stuff in that area. So you get a mix of all of those types of things. You also get interdimensional beings that travel and that stop there to charge on that energy. So there is no such thing as really good or bad necessarily. There's just lots of activity, and the way that it's used will determine the experience. So when you awaken to it, it means that you can shift the use, and you can actually help clean out that portal and make it something really, really beautiful and meaningful. Now, with my other friend, she had a ghost scary type of thing happen during her sleep. So I asked her, when did this start? Because I know that she has been living in that apartment for a while. She is into doing moon circles and things like that. I have said what I needed to say about it, but I asked her, did you do a moon ceremony? And she did. So when new things like this start to take place in your home, there is always some doorway that got opened somehow. This can also be because of an object that you brought into your home, which could be antique object that has a spirit connected to it, or it could be a deck of tarot cards that has spirits attached to it. So always take note of what changed. What did you do? Another really powerful thing that someone I know did that I loved was they went into a very deep meditative state and they created a ticket to heaven that a ghost could use if they wanted to, no pressure, just to go in and look for a day, and if they wanted to, they could stay. So this was a beautiful, beautiful gift and such an enlightened approach to dealing with a ghost that may be giving you trouble in your home, because it's really just acknowledging that that spirit is stuck. They could be in heaven, they could be in the most beautiful place, but they don't know how to get there. And you can, in this way, interact with the spirit by giving it a gift, but not going into the helping, attachments, lingering, communicating type of mode. And this proves to be highly, highly effective. So these are a few examples of things that you can do if you may be dealing with a ghost in your home. Rest assured, there are spirits everywhere all the time. And what we do on Earth really determines what type of spirits are attached where, and we are ultimately the decision makers that act in alignment with the highest good. And it really comes from the authority and the confidence with which we consecrate and set apart our space for the most beautiful things, like the Essenes did. Their whole community and way of life was about creating a place in the world where angels and guides could come in to help shift the collective into a more enlightened, beautiful timeline where we create heaven on earth. To learn everything about why you should never be doing moon ceremonies or rituals, listen to episode 89 if you haven't yet, and that will explain everything. I hope that this episode was helpful, and I will see you all in the next one.